Chapter 7. Dr. Benjamin Mogorski. They decided to go straight to the doctor's house and face him. For some reason, Rodolfo insisted on driving them there. After a two-hour journey, they arrived at an iron gate leading into a large estate surrounded by a tall, glass-topped wall. A well-kept drive led up to the doctor's house. On looking out of the window of the carriage, Ernest was surprised to see a large house with at least 20 rooms.
Take a look at that old boy. He's not doing too badly for a country doctor. A house like that must be worth a fortune.
The door was opened by a servant. After a long wait, the doctor, who was still an extremely handsome man, with long silver hair brushed back on both sides of his head, came into the room. Surprisingly, he spoke excellent English.
I believe we've met before, gentlemen, under less happy circumstances. You're English, I believe?
Yes, Doctor. We're doing a spot of investigating for the late Count.
They tell me you've been asking questions that have been upsetting some of the villagers.
Not at all, Doctor. People have been very happy to tell us all they know. It seems that these rumours about the Count having a taste for human blood are totally unfounded.
I don't know who you've been talking to, gentlemen, but I can assure you that the Count was, and I believe still is, a vampire. You forget, gentlemen, I was his doctor.
You say still is? Do you mean to say that you don't believe that the Count is dead? Or do you believe in ghosts?
I believe he died, yes. But I also believe in his power to come back from the dead. In fact, I believe that vampires are humans who have died and come back to Earth.
Very interesting, Doctor. But you say the Count was also a vampire in real life.
Yes. The Count had very rare powers. I once examined his teeth at some length and...
At that moment, a shout was heard from the hall, and all 7 feet of Rodolfo came through the door into the sitting room.
That man is a liar. He is the vampire, not the Count. Tell them how you...
The doctor looked at Rodolfo with an ironic smile on his face.
You can't prove it. The Count never recognized you as his son.
Maybe not publicly, but I am going to prove how you blackmailed the Count so you would keep his secret. You were the only person who knew about Radu.
Rubbish. Nonsense.
I can get all the villagers to say how you forced large sums of money out of them and threatened to kill them if they did not pay.
The doctor began to laugh hysterically.
This man is mad, absolutely mad. He needs to be locked up. And if he doesn't shut up soon, I shall call my men and have him taken away.
During this confrontation, Ernest and Alfred just sat and watched, not knowing who was telling the truth. Suddenly, Rodolfo came towards the doctor and took him by the shirt collar. He probably would have broken his neck if Alfred had not stopped him.
Gentlemen, there's no need to fight like animals. We're all civilized here.
Civilized? This doctor is an animal. He has killed thousands by bleeding them to death.
Lies. Prove it, you monster.
Suddenly, Rodolfo calmed down.
Yes, Dr. Lover, I will prove it.
You can prove nothing.
Yes, I can. Before the Count died, he left me his diary, in which he wrote everything. When you killed the Countess with your so-called medicines and your bleeding, not one day went by that the Count did not write down everything. How you blackmailed him. How you got rich by threatening the poor and sick. How you used the vampire bat to do your dirty work for you. How everybody hates you and fears you.
No one would believe it. They all think the Count was the vampire. It's his word against mine.
You know very well that if it's a question of your word against his, the people will believe his. The people loved the Count and never really believed the rumors.
Suddenly a fearful screeching was heard from the next room. Everybody except the doctor froze.
It's nothing, gentlemen. It's my falcon. He wishes to go hunting.
As soon as Ernest heard the screech, he showed great excitement.
Alfred, old chap, this is the moment I've been waiting for.
Ernest walked excitedly to the door and was about to open it when the doctor shouted at him.
Don't open that door unless you want to die, Lord Ernest. I have specially trained them to go straight for the neck.
Doctor, you don't think I would come all the way from England and not see the vampire bat in the light of day? After all, I am a specialist.
I warned you.
No sooner had Ernest opened the door than a loud flapping of wings and the screeching of a starving bat was heard. And an ugly creature with pointed wings and a squashed nose with black hair sticking out of it flew wildly at Ernest. Alfred screamed and ran to fight off the vicious creature. But by the time he had reached his friend, the bat had already got its teeth in his neck. To Alfred's surprise, Ernest just stood there while the creature got its fill from his neck. Alfred did not know what to do. Soon the bat drew out its teeth from Ernest's neck and sat on his shoulder like a parrot or a tame bird.
Do you know, Alfred, old boy? I think this is the most exciting moment of my life. How many people back in England can say that they came in such close contact with a Desmodus rotundus?
But won't it kill you, dear boy?
Good heavens, no. Of course, if I were one of the doctor's patients and it fed off me three times a day, I wouldn't last long.
The doctor stood in admiration, listening to the man talking about his bat so casually.
A beautiful creature, Doctor. But also a deadly one, if you let it be. You have them well trained, Doctor. You don't mind if I see the rest of the family?
At that, Ernest went into the doctor's laboratory and looked up at the ceiling. Sure enough, hanging upside down on a wooden bar were four more vampire bats. Alfred, by now, had wrapped a scarf around his neck and was holding it tightly with both hands.
How many people have you killed, Doctor, to keep your little family alive?
Yes, they are my family. I love them more than any human being because they love me with all their heart. They are faithful, not like women who love you today and leave you tomorrow. All those people, they were going to die anyway. I couldn't save them. Nobody could.
How could you be so sure, Doctor? I think we should let the police decide on that. Don't you think, Alfred?
Absolutely, old chap. I suggest we go right now.
At that, they turned and left the doctor, who was just shouting nonsense after them.
Can't do anything to me. They're just peasants. They're all afraid of me. I have all the power.
As they reached the carriage, Ernest turned to the doctor.
Well, goodbye, Doctor. It was a pleasure. We shall meet again soon. Oh, and one more thing. You won't need to feed one member of your family tonight.
When they were in the carriage, Alfred felt a little better and let his hands go from his neck. But he seemed very concerned by the two pink spots on Ernest's neck.
Are you all right, old chap? Horrifying experience.
On the contrary, dear boy. It was like a gentle kiss. You should try it sometime.
I'll give it a miss, old fellow. I'll stick to the female kind.
Now, what I'm worried about is what the doctor will do to get his hands on the Count's diary. He'll stop at nothing. I'll check my derringer just in case. I think we'll be needing it.
Chapter 8. The Lover. By the time they left the doctor's, it had begun to snow, and by the look of the dark clouds, there was going to be a storm. So they decided not to go to the police that night. Anyway, Alfred wished to examine the Count's diaries first to make sure that Rodolfo had got his facts correct. Alfred had two things on his mind that he had not had a chance to talk to Ernest about. He leaned towards Ernest so that he could be heard above the noise of the carriage and the rising storm.
Did you notice, Ernest, that Rodolfo called Magorski Dr. Lover?
I'm afraid I missed that, old boy. Why? Do you think that the doctor is the lover the Count mentioned in his letter?
Suddenly, the sound of horses approaching the carriage was heard, and then a shot rang out. Ernest quickly stuck his head out of the window. Through the falling snow, he could see three riders.
I think we're being attacked by the doctor's men. I hope you're a good shot, old boy, because it's the only gun we've got.
Rodolfo was now going faster, and the carriage was rolling dangerously from side to side. Another shot rang out, and they heard a cry from Rodolfo. At that, Ernest started climbing out of the window, much to Alfred's concern.
Be careful, old boy. They're out to kill.
I'm afraid you're going to have to join me, dear fellow. You don't stand the chance of hitting any of them in here.
So, both men climbed out onto the carriage roof. Rodolfo had been shot in the arm, but was still able to drive the horses. After nearly being thrown off the carriage three times, Alfred finally managed to get onto the carriage roof. He lay down on his stomach and aimed. His first shot knocked one of the riders off his horse. Ernest looked around in surprise.
I say, well done. You never told me you were such an ace.
The other two riders followed for a short distance and then dropped behind. Alfred relaxed, but was not happy.
This doctor will stop at nothing to keep the world from finding out the truth. I think we've got a rather unpleasant few days ahead of us.
Jolly good show. I was beginning to think things were getting rather boring.
They reached Dracula Castle without any further adventures. Rodolfo was bleeding badly, but Ernest, who knew quite a lot about first aid, cleaned and dressed the wound. While this was going on, Alfred thought it was a good opportunity to get some straight answers from Rodolfo.
Rodolfo, did I hear you say that the Count was your father? And if so, why are you pretending to be his servant?
I should have told you everything from the beginning, but I have learned to trust nobody. I am the son of Mania. The Count married her secretly. He brought a priest from far away so that no one would know. But the Count never treated me like a son, more like a servant. That made me bitter, and I hated the Count for that. But I loved him as my father.
I see, I see. Now, what about Magorski? Why did you call him Dr. Lover?
It is a name he hates. When he was young, he loved a beautiful woman from Vilcha, and they were going to get married. But she left him for another man, a rich man from the town. And after that, people made fun of him by calling him the Lover. It was that which made the doctor hate women, particularly young and beautiful women. I am sure now that the Lover killed the Countess.
Doesn't the Count mention it in his diaries?
No. You see, the Count was such a kind man that he could not believe that others could be evil. He did not know how jealous the doctor was of him. He did not even hate the doctor for blackmailing him. The Count was the kindest man.
But you say he treated you badly.
Yes. You see, my mother is not an aristocrat. She is nobody. And so I, too, am nobody. But I have the Dracula blood in my veins. That is hard to accept.
Now, this is all jolly interesting, Rodolfo.
But who was that fellow on the horse the other night, pretending to be the Count?
Rodolfo looked at the ground, and his pale, bony face went red.
I lied to you. It was me. I have a confession to make. I helped the doctor spread these rumors about the Count. I would ride the Count's horse through the village whenever the doctor told me to, so that everybody would think it was the Count. What I did was terrible, but I wanted to hurt the Count for the way he treated me.
And it appears that you did. Well, there's no point in crying over spilt milk. The important thing is to keep those diaries safe for the police and try and prove that you are the Count's son. Does he mention it anywhere in his diaries?
No, I have read them all.
I can't believe that if the Count was such a kind man, he would not recognize you as his son. We've got to search the castle high and low. Ernest, do you have any ideas where the Count could have hidden a letter or a will or something?
Ernest, who was warming himself in front of the fire, looked thoughtful.
Well, it was your idea, really, old boy. You thought the Count's cane might be hollow.
Yes, of course, I'd completely forgotten.
Deliberately, perhaps. You don't share my interest in coffins, do you, old chap? So, it looks as if we've got work to do tonight.
In this weather?
Sometimes, Alfred, you surprise me. You call yourself a reporter, and yet you like putting things off. Yes, tonight. Not that I think we'll see the vampire bat, I'm afraid. It's too cold.
Well, at least that's one good thing.
After supper, they again set out with spades. This time, Rodolfo came with them, though he had a great fear of ghosts. The snow was falling in large flakes, and the wind was bitterly cold. By the time they reached the cemetery, everything was so white that they could see their way without lamps. It took them about half an hour to dig down to the Count's coffin. At the sound of his spade on the coffin, Rodolfo jumped out of the grave.
I am sorry, Sir Alfred, but the rest you must do alone.
I agree with you, old fellow. I can't stand this part. To tell you the truth, I just keep my eyes closed. I leave it all to Ernest. He enjoys it.
The snow was falling so fast that already a white layer covered the top of the coffin. Ernest was removing the lid.
I wonder if we'll see the end of my dream.
Have the white fingers started to appear then?
Ernest laughed and pulled off the lid. Ernest could not believe his eyes. The Count's face seemed younger and more alive than ever, and the eyes had opened again. For a moment, he thought the Count was going to speak.
Alfred, can you help me turn the Count? I can't find the cane.
Do I have to?
They both lifted the Count over and underneath found the cane.
That's funny. I thought I left the cane on top of him. Ah, well, let's see if all this was a waste of time or not.
Ernest began to unscrew the handle. When he had finished, he turned it over and tapped the end. Sure enough, a piece of thick paper fell out the end.
Bingo! What does it say on the top, Alfred?
I can only just see, but... yes, last will and testament, I think.
Wonderful. Let's put the Count back to rest, hopefully for the last time.
When they had got him laid on his back, Ernest noticed something very strange.
Good heavens. His eyes have closed, and his face...
what about it?
It actually looks dead this time, but it's as if he's smiling. If I believed in ghosts, I'd swear that he knew everything that has gone on in the last few days.
But you don't. Do you, Ernest?